Good morning. I am not Jeremiah, but I'm excited that you're here, and I'm glad that Jeremiah and Brittany are with us, and I'm excited to hear what they have to say. But before I say anything else, let me just remind you that we're in a daily Bible reading challenge, and we've got more and more leaves on this tree, and if you notice in the foyer, there's a whole lot of leaves there that need to have names of the books of the Bible that you've read. If you want to put your name on the back side of that, go ahead and do that. If you don't, that's okay. Just write down the name of the book that you read through this week, and we'll hang it up on the tree here, and more and more we see the leaves growing on this tree. I have another one in the basement that we can put up here as well, so we're excited to be encouraged by the number of people that are in the text and reading the Bible, so let me just encourage you about that. Jeremiah and Brittany have been a part of our work, and we have partnered with them now for about 5 years in the work that they're doing. They weren't originally in the Cameroon when we started working with them, but they have subsequently moved there, and what I'm hearing is some pretty exciting things that they're doing, and God is really working through them and with them, and I'm delighted that we as a congregation are partnering with them in this work. Nothing is more important in this whole world than our personal relationship with God through Jesus, and when we share that with others, there is nothing more satisfying about that. Jeremiah is a young man with a lot of enthusiasm and vim and vigor. He's an African at heart, the same as I am, and so I'm excited to have him here with us, would you welcome him as he steps up to the pulpit and shares the word with us. And Jeremiah, come on up and let's have a prayer together, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the brethren. Father God, we do praise and thank you for the wonderful way that you continue to work in our lives. And Father, we thank you for the way you have protected Jeremiah and Brittany and their children, and the way that you continue to use them to honor you and to bring extension to the boundaries of your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would bless Jeremiah in his journeys here in America. We know, Father, that this is his first stop. And so we thank you for that, and we pray, Father, that you would open doors for him, and that, Father, he would be able to accomplish the goals that he set for this journey. Guide him this morning, bless him, as he speaks to us from your word, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I am excited to be here this morning. In fact, I'm so excited, I forgot my remote. Could one of the kids bring it up here? Jonathan, can you bring that up for me? I'm pumped. Hopefully I don't forget everything I've got read.
Thanks, bud. Future preacher here.
I need to switch this on. I tend to roam. The other day I was in Boya in Cameroon in our local supermarket. I was in our local supermarket, and since I was thinking about coming to the United States, something that stood out to me that ordinarily I take for granted, I don't even notice, was our cereal aisle. That's this. That is the extent of our cereal aisle. And unless you get a little bit mixed up, these are cookies. And these are cookies. Our cereal consists of four different choices. You can have cornflakes. What is this one? Honey flakes. Chocolate balls or chocolate petals. And those are your options. And they are all expensive. But it was interesting to me to notice that, because that's what I normally consider our cereal aisle. And talking with other missionaries, that's a four times as many as there used to be 10 years ago. But it's always a little bit overwhelming coming back to the United States and, what do we pick? The city of Fayette, population 3,000, has more restaurants then Boya, Cameroon, population 200,000. And even there, it's still a bit more challenging, because when you walk into a restaurant in Cameroon, you don't really look at the menu. You say, what do you have? Well, we've got the chicken and we've got the fish. But the beef is finished and so is the pork. Okay, what kind of fish do you have? Well, we've not got the barracuda or the capitan, but we do have the bar. Okay, I'll take the bar. And it's quite simple. You have a choice between two things, and you pick only one. And then you open up a menu, and it's just like, whoomp. And there you have here in the States, trying to pick what you're gonna get is a little difficult. And today we're talking about choices. Today the theme and the lesson is on choice. Because God, our God, is a God who gives us choices. God is an amazing God. He truly desires the best for us. And yet, He also realizes that putting us in a cage and forcing us into what He wants will not be the best thing for us. You consider this. You consider how unique God is when you read ancient histories and ancient legends and myths. When you read about Odysseus, for example, the great Greek hero who fought and struggled and overcame this and that. But at the end of the day, he dies at the hands of a stingray because it had been fated for him to die at the hands of the sea. All his striving, all his struggling meant nothing because the gods had decided for him what should happen to him, and his choices were essentially meaningless. God is not such a God. Our God is a God who gives us choices. And this is an amazing thing. God totally respects, and God will not touch. God will allow us our free will. Think about what He said to the people of Israel in our Bible reading. He says, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Did God not want them to choose life? Does He desire for any to perish? As 2 Peter tells us, does God desire for any to perish or for all to come to repentance? God's will is that none should perish. And yet, because He respects our free will, because He loves us, He puts our ability to choose out there and says, choose. And we have to choose. God lets us choose. He let the people of Israel choose. And we know from history that many of them chose evil. Many of them chose the wrong way. Sometimes our choices are pretty clear-cut. They are between good and evil. In the book of Joshua, when Joshua says to the people, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, a generation after Moses, puts out this challenge to the people of Israel. Choose whom you will serve. And he talks about the gods which your fathers served, the gods beyond the rivers, the gods of the Amorites, and the Lord God. This was a pretty stark choice. These gods that he's mentioning were vile creations. They were terrible gods that required and requested horrible things from their followers. Consider Molech, for example, one of the gods of the Canaanites. How was Molech worshipped? Molech would have a statue made out of metal. Kind of pictured here. A statue that would be seated down with hands that were outstretched. And then the hands would be heated till they were red hot with fire. And babies would be offered up on the hands to this horrid, despicable God. This was the choice that the people of Israel had to face. Should be pretty simple. You're choosing between good and evil. Sometimes our choices are pretty clear cut. Other times things are not so simple. Sometimes things are a little bit difficult because we don't choose maybe necessarily between something good and something evil. Sometimes we choose between something maybe neutral and something good. Or maybe between something that's better and something that's worse. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, we see an example of someone who chose between something good or something fine and something better. In this story, Jesus and his disciples come to visit their friends Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus was the one Jesus would raise from the dead. Well, Jesus shows up with 12 disciples, right? That's a big group of people. And what do men, 12 men, fishermen, what do they need? They need food.
They're big, you know, they're hardworking men. They've been walking all over the place. And we know from other scriptures, the disciples at least, were very concerned that there should be bread. We see at one point they're in the boat. Did you bring the bread? No, I didn't bring the bread. Did you bring the bread? And they're going on and on about who brought the food. You know, because if you've ever been to a men's camp or men's meeting, if somebody doesn't bring chow, you got a bunch, as they used to say in Ghana, a hungry man is an angry man. And so, being a good hostess, Martha busied herself with preparations to feed and host all these people. It's quite a big task. Meanwhile, Jesus was doing what Jesus loved to do, teaching. He's opening up to people's minds, spiritual realities, showing them God, showing them so many things. And so as Jesus is doing this, Martha's sister, Mary, sits at Jesus' feet, listening and learning to what he has to say. Well, pretty quickly, Martha had enough. I can't take it anymore. No, I got to say something. She comes in, she says, Jesus, don't you see that I'm working and my sister is sitting here doing nothing? I mean, it tends to bother people when they're working and somebody else is not doing anything. And Martha was upset. Mary's just sitting there. I'm in the kitchen slaving over the hot stove and working and preparing this and that. And what's Mary doing? Nothing. What was Jesus' response? He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from him. It was not that what Martha was doing wasn't necessarily important. It was not that what Martha was doing was evil, or that what Martha was doing was a bad thing necessarily. But Jesus commends Mary because she chose the better part. She chose that which could not be taken away. She chose the eternal. What Martha was doing, cooking and preparing and hosting people. In fact, hospitality is something the Bible encourages us to have. But at that point, the right choice was to sit at the feet of Jesus and be spiritually fed. Not to worry about the physical food that needed to come. But at that point, the good choice was to choose the spiritual nourishment that Jesus had to offer. See, to make good choices in our lives, one of the first things we need to remember, one of the first things we can learn from this story is, we need to be open to open doors. You see, one of the things that often gets us tied up in choices is a lack of flexibility. One of the differences you'll see between Cameroon and the United States lies in the area of scheduling. It's incredibly difficult to schedule anything in Cameroon. Incredibly difficult. If you want to make a daily schedule, it's a major challenge. Because, you know, you may have an appointment at 9, and somebody shows up unannounced at 8:45 to come and visit you. And if you say, well, I'm sorry, I can't visit with you, I've got an appointment at 9, it's a huge insult. Yes, you may have things scheduled to do, but they came to visit you at that particular moment. And the immediate visitor is supposed to receive the attention. And so, if you say, well, I'm sorry, buddy, I don't have time for you. I've got to go somewhere. They might not be your friend anymore. They'll be pretty upset. You've got to be flexible. Okay, well, I was supposed to go somewhere at 9. But, how are you doing? Welcome in. Can I get you something to drink? Are you hungry? Let's sit and chat for a while. And while this is frustrating sometimes, and while it makes it difficult sometimes to accomplish things, I believe we need to be careful not to let our predetermined choices, not to let our schedules, not to let what we have planned to do, prevent us from taking advantages of opportunities that God puts in our way. You know, sometimes we can get here in the United States so locked into our schedules, so locked into our predetermined decisions, which were good decisions at the time, that we miss out on open doors that God gives us. We miss out on what God has set before us to take. We're like a team that's so locked into their play that they're running to get the shot that they decide not to pass the guy who's standing right under the basket because that wasn't in the play. You know, we need to be careful sometimes. We need to be flexible and open that, you know, sometimes, yes, we have planned to do this. It was good. Now God has opened up a better thing. And if we're not flexible, if we're locked into what we've already decided, we can let that opportunity pass us by. See, Martha could have left what she was doing. And would Jesus have really minded? Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. The food is not ready. I was sitting and listening to you talk. Would Jesus have minded? I don't think so. If you remember the story when Jesus was in Samaria with the woman at the well, at a point in time, he sends his disciples, please go and get me some food. He's hungry. His disciples go to get the food. Jesus enters into this great discussion about the nature of worship and who he is with the woman beside the well. And when the disciples come back with food, they say, hey, master, here's food, eat. I don't got time for that. He doesn't say it like that. But my food is to do the will of him who sent me. At the time, the choice that the disciples were given was, please go and get food. The thing for them to do was food. And that was a good choice at the time. But when they came back, now that Jesus was involved in a great spiritual discussion with this woman, the choice for him was clear. The word. The food can wait. Jesus wouldn't have minded if Martha had said, I'm sorry, Lord, the food is not ready because I've been sitting here listening to the word of God that you are sharing. It would have been okay. I don't know, Peter might have been upset. He tended to get hungry. But Jesus would have been alright. And so, one of the things for us to always remember is not to be so locked into our predetermined choices. That when God opens up a new choice for us, a new opportunity, that we miss it. Let me illustrate this with an example. Suppose you're on your way to church service. That's a good choice. I'm happy you made that choice this morning. But you're on your way to church service and you see that somebody is lying by the roadside. They had an accident. Well, I don't have time to stop. I'm on my way to church. You know, you're so locked into what you're doing that, well, was anybody ever like that in the Bible? Any religious people ever pass by an opportunity to show the love of God because they were on their way somewhere? I can think of a priest and a Levite that did that to the Samaritan. You know, it's not that going to the church was a bad choice. That was an excellent choice. But God opened up an opportunity for you to show the love of God to impact somebody's life. See, we need to remember, not all things are profitable. One of the ways we manage our flexibility, because somebody might say, well, if we're too flexible, you know, the old saying, if you're too open-minded, your brain might fall out. If we are too flexible, how will we be able to get anything done? Because that's kind of the flip side we sometimes see in Cameroon. Because time is meaningless, sometimes it's almost impossible to get anything done. And then we remember, not all things are profitable. As Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In making our choices and being flexible at the same time, something that can guide us in making those choices is to ask ourselves, is this profitable? Is there a profit here? What does profit mean? Profit means that the benefits outweigh the costs, right? The benefits outweigh the costs. Were there benefits to Martha preparing food for the people? Yes, there were benefits. But what was the cost to Martha? She missed out on what Jesus had to say. She missed out on the words of life. She missed out on the bread of life. Did the cost outweigh the benefits? Yes. The cost to Martha was too great. What was the cost for Mary?
She couldn't help prepare the food. What was the benefit? She listened to the Messiah teaching. The benefits outweighed the cost. Ask yourself, is there profit? Will the benefits accrued from doing this outweigh what it will cost? And remember, there's one thing that is truly profitable, that is always profitable. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16:26? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? These are the most profitable choices. That is, those things that will benefit somebody's eternal soul. This is the surest way to profit, is to look for those things that will benefit somebody's eternal condition. See, there is a time indeed to meet somebody's physical need. As James says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and in daily food, if one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and well fed, but does nothing for their physical needs, what good is that? There is a time when we need to meet people's physical needs. But if we help them with their physical needs, but don't profit them in a spiritual way as well. You know, when Jesus talked about sharing a cup of cold water in Mark chapter 9, verse 41, he said, if you share a cup of cold water, your reward will not be lost. But he says, a cup of cold water in my name. If you do good for somebody in the community, you serve them, but you don't point them to the source of your love, you're not profiting them. If you help them out, you know, they have a flat tire and you change their tire. Oh, they end up thinking, well, you're just a nice guy. They don't end up realizing this person is motivated by a spiritual love. You haven't really profited them. They've gone on their way with a repaired tire, but you have missed the opportunity to point them on the way of eternal life. Always remember, what truly will profit somebody? What is the greatest choice to profit them spiritually? Paul knew his priorities. Paul knew what he was aiming for. Paul kept his target very close. Paul said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There were many things that Paul could have chosen to do. He had a full plate. The guy had started many churches. He'd done many things. He had a full plate of choices. But he says, one thing I do. He focused on one thing. Pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And by having this focus on one thing, his choices became simpler. It's March Madness time. A lot of people thinking about basketball. I like basketball. I'm rooting for a certain baby blue team. I won't say what, because I don't know what team is supportive around here. But go Heels. I didn't actually think about that, but this shirt happens to fit pretty well. But you know, when you're playing basketball, I played in college in Ghana. One of the things that they teach you, one of the things that my shooting coach taught me was, when you are shooting a free throw, you don't just look at the backboard, at the goal in general. You don't even just look at the ring. What my coach told me is, you look at a spot about 2 to 3 inches right below the back side of the ring. And you fix on a spot that big. Zero in on that spot, he said. Zero in on that spot. Keep your attention on a tiny little spot when you're shooting. And the smaller and the tighter you can make your focus, the more accurate you'll be. And that's why basketball fans like to of the opposing team like to stand right behind the goal and jump up and down and wave their shirts in the air and scream and holler and sing and dance and do everything possible. Why? To get that person's focus away just a little bit. Because the fact is, if you can distract that person from their focus, the choices multiply and the possible outcomes of the shots also multiply. Their percentage goes down. We can maintain joy. We can maintain our ability to choose if we focus, as Paul did, on one thing. And then, when we face a choice that's tough, when we face a choice that's difficult, and we choose that one thing, we can forget what lies behind. We don't have to worry about what we didn't do, because we know we did that one thing. This is tough. If I said that it's easy to make these choices, I'd be lying to you. It's tough. It's sometimes overwhelming. When we are choosing between good, better, and best. When we are choosing between better and okay. When we're choosing between the good part and the not so good part. It's tough. We have a lot of freedom built in, as Paul said, all things are lawful, but choosing what is profitable is tough. It's not easy. And if you lack wisdom, ask. That's James' instruction. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You have a choice to make. Ask God for wisdom. And if you genuinely do that, if you genuinely, sincerely ask God for wisdom, He has promised He gives to all generously and without reproach. Is God lying? Oh yeah, you asked for wisdom, but I'm not going to give it. If we genuinely ask God for wisdom. Now there's a difference between asking God to guide your choice and asking God to approve your choice. Many people just want God to say, oh yeah, sure, go ahead. Has anybody here ever had somebody come to you for advice? And what they really wanted you to say was yes. What do you think about this? And you say anything but yes, and they don't like it. Has that ever happened to anybody? Am I the only one? I don't think so. You know, they want approval. You can't come to God like that. Oh, hey God, what should I do? Tell me yes. But if we come to God genuinely, asking Him for wisdom, and we believe that He will answer it, then when you make your choice, be joyful. When you make your choice from a sincere heart, having asked God for wisdom, don't doubt. Yes, remain flexible. Be open to new opportunities in the future. But don't look back and regret. Oh, well, maybe I should have chosen that. Maybe I should have chosen that. If you genuinely ask God for wisdom, and then you made a choice, let it go. A lot of people seem to be stressed out about what they could have done. We don't need to be like that. God is going to give us wisdom. It's an issue of faith. Either we believe that, and we live in joy and confidence, or we can be plagued with doubt. To wrap up, last slide, we've been talking about our choices. The choices we need to make. The decisions that we have that face us in our lives. There are so many. There are so many roadways and paths that we face and junctures where we can go here or there. But if you actually look up the word choice or choose or choices chosen in the New Testament, majority of the time, it's talking about God's choice of us. Majority of the time, it's showing that God has chosen us. God has already made His choice. His choice is you. God is not saying, do I really want this person or not? Am I going to pick him on my team? God's already chosen. He wants you. He desires you to be His child. But just like the people of Israel, whom he had obviously chosen, he had called them out of Egypt. And then he said, I set before you the way of life, the way of death. Choose life that you may live. He does not desire for any to perish. His will, his desire, his choice is you. Do you choose him? Today, maybe you have choices about how best to serve God, how best to do his will, how best to follow the upward call. But maybe, though, your choice is very simple and clear. Maybe today your choice is between life and death. Maybe your choice today is between following Christ or not. If you've never chosen him through the waters of immersion, if you have never made him your choice, he has chosen you. He desires you. He calls you to choose life. And I encourage you this day, choose life that you may live. Amen.